right. Well, here we are. To dream again. To dare again. To feel enjoyment and happiness again. Or for the first time. To realize this is living. Be inspired. To see your life as an exciting journey of discovery. With your host of the Inspire Possibility Show, Mark Sussman.
Hey, everybody. Hey, I got a question for you. How happy are you? Is this something that you think about? I know I used to always wonder if I was happy. And I remember one time many, many years ago when I was a lawyer, I was involved in a case, and the other lawyer said to me, "Are you happy?" And I wasn't. I really wasn't. And I started to think about it. I started to think, well, why wasn't I happy? And so that's been my quest for the last 20, 25 years. And I've interviewed many, many people, and recently I met somebody who is an amazing man. He runs the Happy Neighborhood Project. He has the I Am Happy Project. He's started the Global Happiness Summit. He was honored by the United Nations, and I've had a few conversations with him. His name is Edwin Eddie Berry. He's from Nigeria, and you'll like him as much as I do. And I'm so happy, Edwin, to have you on my show.
That makes two of us. I am definitely happy, too.
Yes. And so I've been talking to you a few times, and I've read over your website and a few things, and you gave a TED talk recently where you talk about happiness as a default position, and what do you mean by that, happiness as a default position?
Well, I think the life kind of treat us the way we treat life. And by default, because we get bombarded by so many negative stuff, and we don't really have a way to deflect it unless we have trained our mind to do so, the default position for most people becomes negative. It becomes unhappy. Mm-hmm. And so it's very hard to be happy from that position. So
yeah.
By default, I mean that it doesn't matter what is happening to you in life. If you can approach it from a happy point of view, you are going
right.
to position yourself to deal with it better. So if we can set our life, if we can set the default position to be happy, that doesn't mean everything is going well. It just means that you are going to respond to what's going from a position of happiness. So that's what I mean by a default position.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm hearing you say is that we have a choice to be happy, regardless of our circumstances. Correct?
Yes.
Did I get that right?
Absolutely, unequivocally. And I know some people hearing this now will say, "Well, Edwin, that's easy for you to say. You know, I just lost my husband, and you're telling me I can choose happiness. You know, or I have a very terrible situation happening in my life, and you think I can choose happiness, or my life is not going the way I would want, and you are telling me to choose happiness." Folks, life happens. All I am saying is this. If you can choose happiness in spite of all of that, you are going to be able to deal with the toughest thing in your life. Versus if you're dealing with it from an unhappy point of view. You know,
mm-hmm.
happiness is an emotion. You know, we need to go through all those emotions. So if something terrible just happened to you, I'm not expecting you to jump up and say, "Oh, yeah, something bad just happened to me. I am happy." No, that's not what I'm saying. Take your time and go through that emotion. Feel bad, feel sad.
Right.
You know, do whatever you need to do for that moment and be human being, okay? But set some kind of guidelines and don't let it take over the rest of your life.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
I think there's kind of a, the way I see it, there's like a baseline. And I think as we do this work, that we become happier as we do that work. But circumstances that come up, they are, as you said, they're going to affect us. But I think what happens is when that circumstance goes away, right, we have a set point, a baseline of what our happiness quotient is. So if something, just as you said, if somebody all of a sudden their partner leaves them, of course they're gonna feel sad and grieve and maybe perhaps be angry. But over time they come back to that basic place where they were before. And or if things go really, really well, people get real excited, and after a while time goes on and they come back to that base point of wherever they are on that scale of let's say, you know, happiness to from sadness to happiness. But I guess what you're saying, and in which I'm in total agreement, is that you can increase that baseline so that when you come back to the normal everyday living, you're going to be gradually happier as you go on and you do this work, so that basically you have more joy in your heart.
Absolutely. You know, I'll give an example that most people can relate to. Let's take baseball, basketball. Okay, let's take basketball. And
yes,
we know that the Warriors are a very good basketball team. They've documented that, okay? They've documented
that. I was
that.
At the game last week, by the way. I went to the game last week.
That's
so
awesome.
That is awesome.
And then the Cleveland Cavaliers came in and won the championship.
Yes.
Now they could have just been digested and everybody get mad at each other and they just go down the toilet and become totally depressed and say, wait a second, how could we be two or three games ahead and still lost it, you know? And just, but they did not do that as a team. They took the hit, they went back, and now what? They are back in their form. Because their default position as a championship team was already very high. And so they could get shaken a little bit, but they're going to come back. So one of the things I try to teach people is I want to position happiness as a skill. You know, something that you can learn. You know, you can learn through gratitude. You can learn through practice. And you hear people say practice makes perfect. I don't believe that. I believe that practice makes improvement. And we would always get better if we put in the effort and the energy and the time and the money and whatever resources we need to put. And we need to put that same on our happiness, you know? And we need to learn stuff that can make us happier as an individual.
Right. So what I like, Edwin, what you just said, which I think is a great concept, and actually, you know, as you were saying this thing, okay, I gotta share that message with other people, is that happiness is a skill. And I like that a lot, because sometimes people just feel helpless and well, you know, I don't feel happy. You know, I'm miserable.
We think this nebulous stuff, you know, that we don't have any handle of. It just happened to us. And so we don't have any say-so in it. So if it happened to us good, then we are in luck. If it happened to us bad, we are out of luck, and that's just the throw of the dice. I don't believe that. I believe you can learn some certain skills, just like we learn to read and write. You know, we learn to play music. Now, I'm not going to put in enough time to learn music to play it like Bozak, you know? I'm not going to learn to play basketball enough to play it like Corey, you know? But I'm going to learn it enough to enjoy it, if that's my goal.
Yes. But I like this, back to this idea, you know, of happiness as a skill. And again, you know, I think I started out this whole idea that it's also a choice. Is that inconsistent, that it's a choice and that it's a skill?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it inconsistent or consistent?
It starts first as a choice. You see, so so if you, in short, I interview over 1,000 people on the subject of happiness in 5 different continents. And I came up with the 10 ways to be happy. And the number one was you got to make a decision. you have to decide that you want to be happy. And then if you struggle with it, then you got to look at happiness as a skill that you can learn. Just like if you make a decision you want to go play basketball or play music, then you are not good at it, guess what? Then you got to learn. You need a coach. You need some basic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if people look at happiness like that, I think more people will be happy.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is, again, you're saying first you have to make a decision. Just like if you want to play basketball, and then you need to develop the skill, and you hire a coach. So though, are those the first two? And I'm curious what those 10.
I just say the coach part because people need help. You know, I'll stick with the basketball for a second. I met a young man, very tall. I think he's almost 7 feet tall, and seven feet something. And everybody rushing at him, oh, you got to play basketball, you got to play basketball, you got. And this young man said, I'm not interested in basketball.
Right.
And so it doesn't matter what anybody says. He hasn't made a decision that he wants to play basketball. So that's not going to work. So you can be a coach, try to force him to play basketball. It's not going to work. So it starts with a decision. And so my first item is you got to decide to be happy and you got to make it a priority.
So make it a priority.
Yes.
Right. So
That is not a priority. We make a lot of decisions every day. You know, when people make the New Year resolution, that's a decision they make, but it's not a priority. So something else take over very quickly.
Right.
When it becomes a priority, you're setting aside some time for it. You're setting aside some money for it. You're setting aside your energy for it. In other words, you allocate resources for those things that are priority in your life.
So you say make it a priority and make a decision, develop a mind, develop help, support, then make it a priority. I guess really the priority would come after you make a decision. The New
Absolutely.
Year's resolutions.
Yes, you have to make the
I don't
decision,
necessarily.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't call the New Year's resolutions a decision.
No,
it's more of
in people's mind they think it is, but it's not. Yeah.
I know. Yeah, but it's making the decision. This is what I'm going to do, and it's kind of really about. And I noticed in your bio you read Norman Vincent Peale, Power Positive Thinking and their books, you know, like Think and Grow Rich, and they always talk about have a goal, have a burning desire, and are you kind of saying is that, hey, have this burning desire to be happy and start to read books on it, start to talk to people about it and getting around other people that are positive and happy. Are you kind of suggesting that?
Yes, I am, you know, because again, okay, it's Dalai Lama, His Holiness Dalai Lama said the purpose of life is to be happy. And if you really drill anybody you are talking to, even somebody who say, oh, I don't really care about happiness, it's not a big deal. If you drill why they do what they do and you ask enough questions, it's going to come down to they want to be happy. They want their family to be happy. They want to contribute to something, you know, that's bigger than them. It always comes down to that. So if that is the case, and then we are not good at it, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
You practice.
Mm-hmm.
You surround yourself with people that can help you. You immerse yourself into the resource. There are some people that spend more time on YouTube Googling stuff that they want to learn, and yet they have not taken one day to Google happiness to learn how to be happy.
So I like that, to really approach it like it's just another skill, like you said in the very beginning, that it's a skill that I can learn how to be happier. I have a choice about that. So what are some other things people can do?
I'll go through these 10 concrete things. I'll go through my 10 ways really quickly, and then you can pick any one that we can spend some more time on, okay? So the first one is to make So decide. Then the number two is to smile more, because people are too serious, okay? And life is not that serious. Number three is to volunteer, you know, be of service to mankind, you know, share yourself. Number four is to donate. And I know people will complain they don't have enough, but maybe they don't have enough because they don't give, you know? Okay, number five is to make time for your faith, your family, and your friends. And then number six is to create a list of all the things you are thankful for. Number seven is make a list of the things that make you unhappy, okay? And then number eight is to learn to manage your time and your money, because they will cause stress if you don't manage them. And number nine is to be active and make healthy choices. And number 10 is to have a goal and a dream. So those are the 10 things, and we can pick anyone, or I can go through it again, you know?
Okay. All right. So we've been talking about some of them. What I want to talk a little bit more before we get into some of these, and just there are some things that really kind of stuck with me, and I think the first time that I heard about you was that you were honored by the United Nations, and I'd like to, you know, hear more about that in terms of how did that come to be? What was there a ceremony? How did the United Nations hear about you and all that kind of? I'm just real curious about that. If you could share that experience with us.
Yeah, absolutely. So back in 2009. I just went out on the street. It was out of a meditation session. You know, I was like, I was just happy after I got out. And I just went on the street and I started talking to people about happiness. I asked a very simple question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how happy are you today? Not yesterday, not tomorrow, today, you know? So they give me a number. We talk about happiness. Then the local TV station, ABC affiliate, they heard about what I was doing. So they invited me for interview. And they did a small documentary on that. And called the long story short, the I Am Happy project I started is now in 64 cities in 19 countries with over 47,000 people. But I got a call from a crew from L.A. And they said they want to come and visit with the chief happiness officer. Okay, I had no clue where it was going. And so I accepted the invitation. So they drove down, they met with me, and they said they just wanted to spend a day. And they want to see
where do they spend the day with you? Where was this? Sacramento?
In Davis, California.
Davis, California.
Yeah, that's where my office was at that time. Yeah, Davis, California.
Yes.
And so I just took them around Davis, and we met people, and people that met me, we waved, and we did that. So, and I didn't really think too much. And later on, I heard that they were doing a documentary on happiness. And the documentary was going to be featured on one of the International Day of Happiness celebration. And so my clip was selected, and the United Nations played that as part of their celebration for the International Day. And so that was how, you know, I was recognized. You know.
In other words, United Nations had an International Happiness Day? Was that what it was?
That is
Did
correct.
I hear that right?
As a matter of fact, in 2012, okay, a little bit of a background also, because there's a lot of stuff that add up, and so sometimes I get excited. In 2010,
yes.
I actually hosted
That's because
the Global
you're happy.
Happiness Summit.
That's because you're happy. You are happy. You're a happy warrior.
I think that.
Happy warrior.
Yeah, I think that might have a little bit to do with it, just a little bit, you know. So I hosted the Global Happiness Summit, and part of the two-day event, I challenged everybody to go to their different neck of the world, you know, to do their part to contribute to happiness, you know. And so that was 2010. So in 2012, the United Nations passed a resolution declaring March 20th the International Day of Happiness. So every year now they celebrate International Day of Happiness on March 20th, and the March 2014 was when I was recognized. Yeah.
I see. And so, what you went back to? Where did you go? You go back to New York, or
it was New
where?
York. New York.
And so they honored you, and you went up on the stage, and or how did that?
No, they actually honored my project. So it was my project. They played about a 4 minute, I think, about a 2 minute video. They played a 2 minute video of my work. So that was.
Can I ask you a serious question?
A really humbling experience. Yes.
Yeah. Can I ask you a serious question now? Is yeah. that when yeah. they played that video, did that make you happy?
Yeah, just a little bit. And actually,
just a little bit.
Actually, it didn't make only me happy. It also make my mother, that was in Nigeria, also very happy. You know, she was like, "That's my little boy." You know.
Yeah. Now what an honor and. Not
yeah.
just an honor, but
it was a
validation.
Was
a validation yeah. that, wow, you know, I'm really on the right path.
Mark, I'm making
a difference.
Mark, here is something that I have to say, and you would appreciate this because your line of work also confirmed this, okay? You know, that day in 2009, when I got out of meditation to go out and talk to one person, it never come to my mind that one conversation would turn out to where we are right now. Never.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I try to share with people. You have to take this life one day at a time, you know, one person at a time, because, you know, you never just know where it goes. You just don't know.
Yeah. You know, I'd have to say that in all the work I've done, all the spiritual work I've done, and you know, I mean, obviously happiness is part of it, but I've been thinking about for years about more fulfillment, how to be happier, and I think in different formats, different things I've done, different experiences, different people I've met, that's the message that comes back to me, is you just have to be in the moment. You have to, you know, I remember years ago, I don't know if you're familiar with Ram Dass, but he wrote a book called Be Here Now. And then Eckhart Tolle wrote a book called The Power of Now. All these books about, now is the only time, and to let go, you know, this idea of let go, let God, just be in the moment.
Yeah.
And it's hard
for I have a saying. I said that you do not allow the past or the future to rob you of the present.
And you know what it is there's something like that I heard once, and I don't know if I haven't said this for a long time. So the future isn't here. The past has already happened, and the present is now. The present is now, and that's why it's a gift.
Yeah. And
the present.
Because the truth
about
it is...
But the idea of the present, yeah.
Yeah, it is the present. That is all that really matters. This phone conversation we are having right now, that's all that really matters, you know, when it's all said and done. And so I can worry about, would people listen to it tomorrow or would it... That doesn't really matter. It's just I got to give it the best I got for this moment, and hopefully with the work I'm doing right now, I can create a brighter future for me and for other people. But I can't worry about that outcome. I got to focus on making now really the best one and enjoying every moment of it.
Absolutely. Wow. A lot of important information. And the first time I heard you, I just felt this passion. And I think that when anybody gets excited about something, they have this underlying passion, and part of it's having a plan, too, a plan of action. And it sounds like in this happiness project that you have a mission. You're on a mission.
Yes.
I
am very passionate. I believe with every cell in me that every human being deserves to be happy. And I feel like I can do my part to contribute to that. And that's right. My motivation. That's where I jump right. out of the bed in the morning. I can't wait. You know, I go to sleep, you know, just like a little baby, you know. And, right. and that's my passion. And so when I see somebody that says they are not happy, now, of course, I cannot make them to be happy. You know, sometimes people will say, oh, Edwin, you're the chief happiness officer. Make me happy. I say, no, you know, I don't have that kind of power. However, I can share with you some skills that you can develop no matter what situation you are. If you are willing to invest the time, if you are willing to invest the energy, and Mark, the good news is a lot of the time it doesn't even cost money. But I'm even telling people when it does cost money, invest the money also. Because we are uh-huh. talking about your happiness. And so once a person, it comes back again to happiness as a skill. So if somebody tell me they are not happy, I say, okay, let me give you one small exercise. Would you promise me that you will do it? And they look at me, and they trying to decide in their mind if they will or not. I say, you know what's going on in your head right now? You're trying to prioritize if your happiness is that important or not.
Right. So let me do this, because we're running out of time. And I want to remind our listeners, we're listening to the Inspire Possibility Show. Edwin Edenberry is my guest, and we've been having a passionate, lively conversation. Now, how can people get involved with what you're doing? I know that you talk about the Happy Neighborhood Project and the I Am Happy Project. Are they different, by the way, the Happy Neighborhood Project and the I Am Happy Project?
Yes, they are. The I Am Happy Project is the organization I started first, and that is a nonprofit. And mm-hmm. then the Happy Neighborhood Project is what I started secondly, and that's a for-profit business. And so the I Am Happy Project is a platform that I just created to bring like-minded people together to help each other. And the Happy mm-hmm. Neighborhood Project is really trying to help businesses. Actually, not trying. It's helping businesses. It's kind of like bringing happiness to the marketplace, you know. For lack of a uh-huh. better word, it's like a better business bureau, you know.
Right.
Businesses become
yeah, yes.
a member of the Happy Neighborhood Project, and we can help them to create a culture of happiness at work and stuff like that. So people can go to happyneighborhoodproject.com, happyneighborhoodproject.com for the Happy Neighborhood Project and the IamHappyProject.org. For the I Am Happy Project.
Mm-hmm. And the Happy Neighborhood Projects now, you have them in how many countries? How many cities?
The I Am Happy Project is in 64 cities in 19 countries.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
We have been busy.
You've been busy doing a lot of talking, huh?
When I travel to those countries, it's been a lot of fun, I'm telling you. And that also goes to tell you, Mark, you know, that people are the same everywhere, and at the same time, we are very unique, you know. All 7 billion
yes.
of us are very unique. But at the same
yes.
time, we have so much commonality as human beings. We have so much commonality, yeah.
You know, I once wrote an article on communication. And,
yes.
and I talked about the four principles of communication. And what I came up with, the first principle was what we all want is to connect. But we don't
yes.
really know how to do that. And to connect, we have to really learn to listen, not just to the words, but to the person's energy, to their feeling, to what moves them, to really get that other person on so many levels. And that's what real listening is. And I think, as you're just saying, is that's what I think everybody wants in all countries, all walks of life. They want to connect. They want to know that they matter.
That's right. And that's why
yes.
we invest our energy. That's how we invest our time.
Yes.
We want to contribute to something that is bigger than us.
Mm-hmm. So we're coming to an end here, and I just want to thank you for blessing my show, blessing the Inspire Possibility Show. And I always ask people what inspires them, all my guests, and I think for you, we don't need to ask that. That's what we've been talking about for the last half hour. We already know. It's no secret. So, yes, it's been delightful.
Yeah, no. And I want to thank you for what you do, for real. I think the world needs more people like you to create that possibility, to create that inspiration, and for real, to show that, hey, you know what, no matter what's going on, there is still something there to inspire us, you know, to live this life and to be happy.
I think that's a good place to kind of stop for today, and thanks everybody for listening in, and you know, every week I interview different people like Edwin, different cutting edge thought leaders. And in the meantime, until next week, journey on.
You've been listening to Inspire Possibility Show with Mark Susnow. To learn more about Mark Susnow, go to inspirepossibility.com and click on the contact button. Schedule a complimentary visit with Mark or email him at mark@inspirepossibility.com. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine.